When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello there. My name is Miles Jupp, cricket fan. And together with my co-host, Mark Wood, actual cricket man, we invite you to listen to Middle Please Umpire, a new cricket podcast containing the two of us banging on and sounding off together about cricket and quite possibly all manner of other things, while lifting the lid on Mark's life as an international cricketer. And as if that wasn't enough, we shall be welcoming some great guests along the way and chatting to them about life on and off the playing field as they spill the beans, drop some truth bombs, and see if they can withstand the scrutiny of our brutal interrogations. Middle Please Umpire is available right now from all your favourite podcast providers.
Hello, and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. I am Boyd Hilton. He is sidekick Josh. Hi, Josh. You're in a new room this week.
This is my office in my house now. Yeah, I've been waiting for it to be built. So you've seen the inside of cupboards, all sorts of nooks and crannies in my house. And finally, this is where I think I'll be for the foreseeable of these joyous, celebratory podcasts that we do every week now, Paul.
It's not, I mean... We'll try and celebrate something. We can celebrate the fact that as we speak right now at 7:05 p.m. on Monday night, Leicester are losing 2-0 to Fulham, which I consider to be a hilarious little bonus that's slightly taken the edge off our tragic defeat to Wolverhampton Wanderers yesterday. We are also joined by our fairly frequent guest, Trevor Harris. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, good evening, both.
An Arsenal aficionado who, before we went on air, so to speak, showed us a piece of Arsenal memorabilia. Just to say what it was again, Trevor?
It is a piece of official Arsenal-headed paper signed by every player from the 1971 double-winning team.
Wow, that is incredible. Including, of course, George Graham, who today is his birthday today. So that's another reason to be happy. Happy birthday, George, from us, my favourite Arsenal manager. Yeah. Yes, Josh? You're on mute.
We can't hear a word, Josh.
You're on mute.
Right. I should be, after 7 months of Zooms and Skypes, not making such elementary...
Yeah.
Did you see, in all this, Maradona... reflection that's been going on in the recent days, there was a story about him very nearly... coming to Arsenal at one point. I didn't know anything about this story. Did you know, Trevor and Boyd? Did you know about this?
I had rumours of it. Yeah, I had rumours of it, but never. Just those were just rumours. Yeah, but I think he's been similarly linked to with various teams, hasn't he? But yeah, it didn't surprise me.
Well, there are quite a few dealers in North London, so I suppose it has some kind of legs.
Steady on. Now. First of all, let me say, Josh, just to the listeners, so we're using Zoom, obviously. No, we're not. We're using Skype. We can all see each other in our various things. And I have to say, Josh is looking resplendent with a kind of full beard, moustache setup and kind of very messy hair. Trevor, I don't know if you agree with me. He's starting to resemble quite closely Mo Salah of Liverpool FC fame. Look at him.
There's a bit of a resemblance. Yeah. Either that or some kind of psychedelic rock star from the 70s.
A bit of both. But I think you could go from, you could do the sideline. I know you've got a very successful kind of football thing, company, but you could have a sideline as a Mo Salah lookalike. If that, and I bet they're in demand, Josh, just saying.
No, just I'm open to all opportunities, anything really, apart from, you know, talking about our club. So the longer we can talk about nonsense like this, the better, boys. So yeah, have you got anything else? Any side jobs?
I've got loads of stuff. The other thing to say is at the same time, in a badly timed arrangement, yesterday, the Hay Literary Festival, I don't know if you know this, either of you, the Hay Literary Festival, which is, you know, kind of the, one of the biggest literary festivals on the calendar every year. But obviously it's virtual this year, as all things are. But they had a session, a one-on-one interview session between Arsene Wenger and Elton John. The two of them, yes, this happened yesterday, 8:30, in the middle of the fucking match. Obviously, when they scheduled it months ago, they weren't to know that our game was rescheduled for what has become the nightmare time, isn't it? 7:15 on Sunday is like the nightmare Arsenal kickoff time now. But yeah, this event happened, and I am going to try and watch it later because I think it is available. I think you have to pay for it because you have to pay, but you can watch it later. But apparently, it sounded quite excellent because they're kind of friends, Elton John and Arsene Wenger. Yes, Josh.
Well, I was going to say, you're talking about nightmare times. I think I mentioned to you last night. Not, I didn't watch the game live. I had my first Zoom antenatal class with my wife, and I thought it would be pretty poor form not to show at that. So we had that at 7:30, which meant I tried to watch the first 15 minutes, which meant I watched Raul Jimenez and David Luiz on the ground, and then was a little bit unsure what was happening with all that and if the game was going to be going ahead and everything. So the only thing worse, I think, than watching a game like yesterday is when you watch it back as live 2 hours later. That's definitely worse. Like when you just start fast forwarding and hoping the ball's going to get, and it wasn't happening. It was fairly depressing.
I was just trying to think of an Elton John song. Like, I mean, Mikel is leaving tonight on a train or something. One thing I was going to mention to you, Boyd, and I have mixed feelings about Fulham winning at Leicester, because Fulham are going to then have 10 points. There'll only be 3 points behind us.
Are they going to
we could be in a relegation fight here. We want Leicester to win.
Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, absolutely. I was consoling myself with the idea that there's at least a good handful of teams that are way worse than us. But now that Fulham can do what we certainly didn't come near doing, which is being Leicester. What a weird season this is. So we have to address the Aubameyang in the room that is yesterday's game. Where to begin, Josh? Where do you want to begin? You've put your hand up like you're going to say something important.
No, just before. Obviously, we have to get into the game.
You want to go to the toilet, Josh? Are you asking permission or what?
No, this is just how on this method I get Boyd's attention. Boyd, just want to know: are you going Thursday? Because we have to address that. Tickets came out. You're not. Yeah. Did you have try? Did you?
To be honest, I didn't try. Partly because of my broken arm. I don't know why that stopped me, but. When it was announced, I was like, should I, shouldn't I? Because I would have to go by public transport. And I was like, you know, we stuck in a tube with the 1,000, half the Arsenal fans going at the same time to this game. I don't know. I just felt, because of that, I stopped. But now that, and also now I'm even more, I'm kind of quite glad I didn't bother, because not only is it a dead rubber, but it's, I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to go, wouldn't it? For those, are you going?
So a friend of mine tried to get tickets for us and could only get one in his basket, and decided of all the surreal things to go to, going on your own might not be the one for this. So decided not to take the one. So yeah, we're not going, but I would have gone. I would, just maybe for the novelty, or,
yeah,
you know, it's been what, 8-9 months. Would have been
nice.
Yeah,
I would have gone without my broken arm for sure. Yeah. I don't know why it's telling me that. Trevor, would you be interested in going to that?
Do you know what? No, and I think that Arteta should pick the youth team. Seriously, what is the point when we're playing so badly in the competitions that really matter, in risking anyone who's even vaguely close to the first team getting an injury when we're already through? I don't see the point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he may well do that, mightn't he? I mean, unless he might think, you know, a decent win. Mind you, this didn't happen this week, did it? A decent win in the Europa League didn't lead to any particular improvement in performance on Sunday. But yeah, I agree. Let's talk about this fucking game then, as it should be known, this fucking game. I think of all the many, many worrying things about it, right, about the current situation, and I'm trying not to get hysterical. Like, I think there are, you know, there's already people saying Arteta should go, and there's people saying he was never any good, and people slightly rewriting history. And I think he did start off well. I thought there was an immediate improvement, I felt. And saw it with my own eyes over the Emery period. And I felt like he'd instilled a solidity and a structure. And I think the players knew what they were supposed to be doing, which I don't think they did under Emery. And I thought that was all to the good. And I felt like he was a great communicator. He started off with, like, you know, a kind of 4-3-3 formation, didn't he, really? Then later on in last season, in the cup runs, and it's the big teams, you did this three at the back system, and that really worked really well for us. I think there the players really got to grips with that system, particularly when we started with that system this year again. And I felt like they knew where they were. But then quite quickly it became clear that it was really hampering our attack. And it became quite, everyone started observing that we weren't creating enough chances. And the Aubameyang situation not scoring, like Lacazette's had a terrible season. And I think because of all that, he's now changed it to 4-3-3 again. But I think all along he planned on changing it to 4-3-3 with Thomas Partey at the centre of that. I don't think he's got the players. I don't think Xhaka and Ceballos right now are capable of playing in that system to any level of decency. They look like the worst midfield in the league to me. I mean, and very, so to me, that starting point is, in a way, that I'm not, you know, if he'd actually reverted to three at the back against Wolves, people would have complained, wouldn't they? Would have gone, oh, against Wolves, you shouldn't be playing. But I actually think that system, at least the players know what they're doing. It doesn't feel like the players have any confidence in playing normal football in any sense in this system with these players, Trevor.
I don't think any of the players have got any confidence at the moment. And do you know the saddest thing was that at more than one point in that match, I was almost thinking, come back Mesut, all is forgiven. Such was the total lack of creativity in midfield from any of our players, any of them. And I think with Arteta, beyond what formation he plays, you have to also start to question now the buying policy. Because, I mean, look at the teams that we've lost three home games in a row. Aston Villa, we're the Midlands cannon fodder, aren't we? Aston Villa, Leicester and Wolves. Well, we could have made a cheeky bid for Jack Grealish. We could definitely have got Ross Barkley. We need, I'm not saying that Barkley's a world beater, but he's better than what we've got in a creative sense. No question. Partey would have helped had he played on Sunday, but, you know, and even when we won at United, which was a good, solid performance against, and I think they're one of the most overrated teams. They're a very average side, Manchester United, very average.
Oh, yeah.
We deserve to win that game.
Yeah.
But even in that match, as yesterday, as against Leicester, as against Villa, we created bugger all. The goal we scored yesterday was a centre-half's header. Okay, great header. Good cross, great header. But in terms of a flowing creative, you know, we were light years off it. And that's what really depresses me, because I can't see how you improve it. One of my problems, boy, you look at the team we played yesterday. Willock hasn't convinced me yet. Saka, he's an England international now. But to me, these are players that should be part of a squad, not players that are playing most weeks and expecting to perform for a side that's trying to challenge for things, because they're not good enough to do that.
Sure, but really, when you look at it, it's our experienced players that are more worrying to me. It's experienced players who aren't performing, like, you know, Willian. I mean, don't get me started on Willian. And I think, just to say, I think his signing, and I've been going on about this, banging on about this every week, so apologies for repeating myself, but it has to be said. Just what does that signing mean? What does it, you know, what kind of planning does that indicate? What, you know, and he was, again, absolutely terrible yesterday. The one or two moments where, you know, decent moments, but that was it. Absolutely pointless player to sign and to play. I'd much rather he played one of those younger players and, you know, he'd just give them a go than him. Or Ozil. I'd much rather see Ozil than Willian.
I was excited when we signed Willian. When I heard for nothing, yes. Because I watched what he did for Chelsea last season. I thought, bloody hell, Free. Okay, we're paying him big wages, but it was a free transfer. Good signing. And it's been evident to me from he actually played quite well against Fulham in the first game. Since then, they talk about players towards the end of the season when you've got nothing to play for being on the beach. He's been on the beach since bloody August.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even now, yeah. When it's freezing in December, he's still on the beach. Yeah. What the hell's going on?
So what must the likes of Zacharia and Willock, as you mentioned, think when they see him doing that? And then we have to talk about Aubameyang. I think he looks unhappy visibly, and obviously because he's not scoring, he's incredibly happy whenever he's scoring. He's an incredible he's the most smiley footballer I can think of that was ever played for Arsenal normally. But we've managed to destroy him. I think we're killing him. We're killing Aubameyang by not even get in whatever formation, central, wide. I actually think he looks better wide. I'm now completely doing a reverse ferret. Do you know what? I think we're probably better off with Lacazette in the middle, him out wide, and maybe Xhaka or whoever, not Willian, Pepe when he's back. That, I think, is the formation. As poor as that has been in the recent times, it's better than the dross of yesterday, Josh.
Well, what you have to say about Aubameyang is that he's not become a terrible player overnight. He didn't sign that contract and some horrible dust fell on him. And here we go from being a world-class striker to a bang-average striker. There's still a player there. He is getting such little service from what is going on around him that I think we're seeing just for the first time a bit of frustration manifesting on the pitch in a way that we are not used to. You talk about him playing on the side of a front three. I think ideally that wouldn't be the case. But because of how poor we are, I think it might be what we now revert to. And he might just go back with Lacazette up top. And just because we're going to see more of Aubameyang, rather than at the moment, this period where it's not worked with him up top alone, sadly. But then Lacazette is not exactly banging form, so it's not like a brilliant option.
But there are better options than I tell you my thing with why I'm worried now about Arteta, and I warn you now, I'm starting to have doubts.
I'm turning
yeah. I mean, I'm famously fickle, but I am turning. You've got to just look at the situation, haven't you? I think a couple of worries for me are, one, the biggest one is that I think he has changed it because of pressure from the media and from fans, like the putting Aubameyang central thing and the playing 4-3-3 and all of that. I think he's going to have to revert to the old way of playing, the previous way of playing against Spurs. There's no way he can play like this against Spurs, is there? So he'll definitely revert to the three at the back, I guarantee. And I'm sure he'll pick Lacazette, is my feeling. And I think Gary Neville makes this point quite often about, and he talks about it when he had that terrible stint managing himself, that the biggest mistake he made was that he wouldn't stick with a way of playing through thick and thin. And if it didn't work for like 2 weeks in a row, he'd go, oh, I've got to change it. But actually, it was sticking with the system that I thought was working for Arteta from the end of last season, our post-lockdown, through the beginning of this season. That was when we were solid. I actually said, and I now feel like an idiot for saying it, after the Man United game, I was saying, you know, we're the most solid, reliable team in the league because we had the best defence at that point. We could carve out a 1-0 victory at Man United. It wasn't pretty, but I don't give a shit. I would be happy. No. If we're going to win games, or if we're going to not lose games and score one goal most of the time, that's fine by me at the moment. But it's better than what happened yesterday and in these three home defeats in a row. And I think they are the result of him not sticking by his own what he'd established as a very solid way of playing. Now, you compare how we played yesterday, sorry, one more thing, against Man United. We're not even pressing at all. There's no press whatsoever. How did that change? When did that change?
Well, we're going backwards.
And the other thing is, quickly, to say why I'm worried about Arteta, it's weird to start going backwards at this point, isn't it? And what does that mean? Like, what does that mean about his relationship with the players that we're going backwards so quickly? That's what's worrying me about it. Yes, Trevor.
Well, what I was going to say, like I made a Maradona joke, but I mean, it's apropos because obviously Maradona, people say he's the greatest of all time. Not for me, but I think it depends what era you you kind of, what year you were born. He's in the top five players of all time. We could have had yesterday Maradona or Pele or Cruyff or whoever you want to be, Sabio, whoever you want to name, Messi. We would have lost that game because I'm kind of with Josh. Aubameyang, a striker without service, is impotent. He should have scored with the header. He should have scored with, but that's not his. He's not the greatest. It'll be like Henri, not the greatest header of a ball. So that's my first point.
He was getting more service, wasn't he, in the previous formation with Lacazette playing central. He was getting more service than he was yesterday. This was the lowest of the low yesterday.
I would have played Lacazette. And you look at our bench. I mean, there wasn't much to add, was there, in a creative sense. Here's my question to both of you, though, because we talk about Arteta and, you know, already there's press rumblings about how secure is he. We play Spurs at the weekend. We're probably going to lose that game. Then we play Burnley at home. Now, if we lose to Spurs away, as we're expected to do, if we were to lose at home to Burnley, a team with, what, they got 5 points, one win all season, useless. If we lose to Burnley, I think the board would be seriously contemplating saying, sorry, Mikel, we can't. We've lost four home games in a row.
Yeah, I agree.
And none of the matches we've lost have been to title-challenging teams.
I think the problem is, I think you're right. I think it could be. I think we're on the verge of a truly terrible spiral. It could go either way. And I think you're right. If that scenario happens, I think the board, whatever you want to call it, whoever is in charge, it's going to get difficult because that would be so awful and so embarrassing. And I think the other thing about it is that they made the mistake really with Unai Emery of him clinging on too long. I mean, they really should have got rid of him, you know, months before they did, didn't they? And that I felt that
we
really
we always do that, though, don't we?
Well, right. But I think I'm now in the camp, and I think Tim Stillman said this on Twitter today. He said that, you know, there's no point in delaying these things. If things get serious and if the results go terribly, there's no point in thinking Arsenal are above the fray and are above changing managers a lot, because the reality is you're probably better off doing it quickly and then bringing in. Here's a question for Josh. Here's my sub question, because I agree with your question. My sub question is, if you could guarantee that we were not going to finish between like 8th and 12th, which I think we're looking like we are at the moment with Arteta's manager, by getting Maurizio Pochettino, who is available right now, would you do it? Josh.
Wow. I mean, I do really respect Pochettino as a great manager and achieved, you know, incredible, really, to take Spurs to a Champions League final. That is incredibly impressive. Didn't win anything. Right now, I think, to answer your question, I'm more scared about getting rid of Arteta right now, because I think we've got a load of players that are not performing. And if suddenly we have to get rid of the manager that we only a few months ago thought had got this lot into some kind of order, then things are going to get worse, definitely before they get better. I still think that this is going to go either way. If this goes on till another 5-6 games and we can't get a win and we lose to Burnley, as Trevor said, then, yeah, I don't know how it doesn't become a questionable situation. And can you just imagine if there were fans in the Emirates yesterday?
It's going to make it worse.
It would have been terrible. And if this was under Emery, you know, if we'd have somehow stumbled into another season of Emery, there would be no question from Arsenal fans calling for a change. I still think, though, right now, we've got to back him. We are too far invested. And you talk about surreal situations at our club. Trevor brings up Mesut Ozil, who's not in the Premier League squad. We talk about Aubameyang, who's become our, you know, 300 grand a week striker who can't play. We've left out situations like, you know, Saliba, who was bought for 30 million, is not good enough to be in a Premier League squad, 25-man squad either. We've given Cedric a 4-year contract, and he occasionally makes the bench, and he seems to make a bench. And who's he making the bench instead of? Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who he wouldn't let leave the club for 25 million quid. There's just so many. I don't know where you stop with, like, weird situations that Arsenal have got themselves into. But right now, I'm still going to back Arteta. I'm not turning like you, Boyd. I'm not turning.
I'm backing him right now. It's more what I'm trying to say, I think, is that I mean, I'm starting to see why our frequent guest Alan Alger, the world's leading, shall we say, doubter of people who think who back Arteta no matter what. I mean, he's the doubt of people who back the manager no matter what in just every scenario. And I think the reason it feels like right now he's absolutely got a point is that everything that Arteta did well to start with feels like it's seeping away. And that's the worry for me. It's like we're not just losing games is fine. Not fine. Losing games is acceptable if you play decently. And, there's a structure to it, and you can see. But the thing that he did so well, he initiated a style, didn't he? We felt like we did have a defining style to play, and that's completely gone in a matter of like three or four games. And if that carries on, then clearly what we all thought about Arteta was that I thought anyway that he was brilliantly clever, smart. He clearly studied under Pep, and he was a great communicator. Clearly, there are flaws that may override those things, and I think he's like Alan made the point on Twitter, a very interesting point, that he keeps on the sideline relentlessly telling the players what to do every single minute of the game. Emery did it a bit, but not as much as this. And it is true, isn't it, Trevor? Don't you think it's weird? It is weird. You don't see Pep or Mourinho. You don't see any other major manager directing the play second by second to this extent. I mean, I always have the sound off with our games, the piped in, because it's so fascinating to hear Arteta telling Joe Willock, literally, Joe, run now. It's like if he's... I think that's a bad sign to me, because surely the players should roughly know what they're doing, have a job to do, and be allowed the freedom and the confidence to kind of play themselves into the game and improvise if need be. But he's totally telling them what to do. Isn't that weird?
Well, yes, I agree. But Pep's been at Barcelona, at Bayern Munich, and now Manchester City. At Manchester City, he had David Silva for however many years.
I know.
He's got De Bruyne. He's got, it's chalk and cheese in terms of the riches that he had at all of those clubs compared to what Arteta now has at Arsenal. You can't make, what is it, silk out of a sow's ear or whatever the
phrase is. Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. My point is more that, imagine you're an Arsenal player right now, and you're you're Willock, right? And you're constantly being told by your manager on the sidelines where to go, what to do, minute by minute. Aren't you like kind of being distracted from your own game and your own, it feels counterproductive to me. To every now and then, sure, but it's relentless. Josh, does this strike you as being weird, or are you happy with this the way he is? Is it a weird thing to pick up on?
I don't think he's the only one that does it. I just think maybe it's even more heightened at the moment, because I don't know if you watch with the sound effects or you don't watch sound effects.
No, with no sound effects, yeah. Just so I can hear what he's saying, yeah.
Yeah, and it's true. But I tell you what, Pep, Klopp, I don't think it's that different, to be honest. I don't think it is.
They stand there gesticulating, right? Honestly, I was actually looking out for it because I'd noticed it already. And if you watch Klopp, particularly Mourinho sits there scribbling in his pad, like look pretty, very static, but barely gets involved at all, apart from when something annoys him, and then he gets up and swears at someone. Pep's like every now. Pep's very a lot. They all walk around a lot and stand there a lot, yelling a lot. But Arteta is the one who is literally telling them what to do. That is different. That is different minute by minute. That is something different, I think.
But didn't we used to complain that Emery did a lot of that?
No, I said that. Emery did it quite a lot, but Arteta's taken it even further. Maybe it's a reflection. It may well be a reflection, as Trevor alluded to, that we've got a lot of players who don't know what the fuck they're doing unless they're told.
Well, I don't think Willock is a player with any confidence whatsoever. He looks quite good when we play a team who's like 16th in the Slovenian league and the Europa League. But when in the business matches in the Premier League, which let's face it, it's the best league in the world by a distance. I've covered some matches in Germany outside of Bayern Munich and Dortmund. There's a lot of garbage going on there. You don't get that in the Premier League. You can't turn up and play at home against Wolves or Leicester or Villa or whoever. If you're not on it, you'll lose. And that's what's happened. And I don't see that. This is the sad thing about it. I don't see the quick fix here. We'd probably lose to Spurs. If we lose to Burnley, I mean, imagine if we lose at home to Burnley. Imagine the pressure that's going to be on Arteta from the press, from Arsenal fans. We're going to be in an absolute mire. I see no easy way out of it.
Before we carry on, let's take a quick break. And I've got the big question to ask after we come back from this break.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
And we're back. I want to ask, you're right. There is no easy way out of it. The big question for me is, how have we got into this mess? What has changed, Trevor, do you think, between the Man United? And you're right. Roy Keane made this point. Everyone got overexcited about us. We got overexcited about beating Man United away because it's such a rarity that we beat a top big six club away. It never happened and it happened. But I think that performance, the performance would have showed our heart and focus and concentration and everything we need of a team that day in that performance against Man United, which are, who I agree are mediocre, right? But they did come back from 2-0 down yesterday. Anyway, for me, our performance that day was everything we wanted, pretty much. Could have been slightly more, created more chances, but, you know, whatever. He set them out and we won. What has happened between that game and now to change things so dramatically where we're now playing absolutely the worst football, probably worse than under Unai Emery, not creating enough chances, allowing Wolves to come at us full throttle, relentlessly throughout the game. I mean, the first half more than the second half. What's happened, Trevor? What's the reason for it?
Well, what I think one thing to bear in mind is the Man United game was an away game where the emphasis was not on us to attack, was not on us to do anything. We soaked up vague amounts of pressure from United. Then we thought, there ain't a lot here. I think we've mentioned they're an average side. Rashford's distracted for whatever. And we deservedly won the game. The three home games that we've lost, you have a responsibility as a home team, not just a home team, but as a team that is supposed to be superior to the three teams that we've lost to. You've got to kind of make the play. You've got to try and go forward. We can do that. And suddenly, Leicester, Villa, Wolves thought, hang on, there ain't a lot to beat here. I mean, to be honest, in the Villa game, they had a goal. They scored after about, 45 seconds. It was disallowed of VAR, rightly or wrongly. That set the tone for the whole match. Even though it didn't count, they suddenly thought, bloody hell, we're going to win. And they destroyed us. They could have won. It was 3-0 was a flattered us, actually. The Leicester game, we offered absolutely nothing. They hit us on a sucker. Leicester played against us like we played against Man United. Soaked it up, not a lot of pressure really, and scored on the break or whatever. And Wolves, again, 2-1, it could have been way worse than that. They should have been outside the first half, Wolves, to be honest. So I think there is a degree where when we feel pressure to try and force the game, like when we're at home against a lesser team or away against a lesser team, we fall down because we don't have the creativity in field to make chances for Aubameyang and Lacazette if he plays, or Nketiah or whoever else plays up front. We do not have someone capable of going past people. We don't have a Brady. We don't have a Robert Pires. We don't have a Bergkamp. We do not have anyone anywhere close to the ability that those players had. And until we sign one or maybe even two, I don't see how we can be any better than mid-table. And I know that's depressing and pessimistic, but I think it's realistic.
Do you agree with that, Josh? Or do you, I'm not sure. I don't think our squad is that bad. I think our squad is materially better than it was last season. I mean, it's really annoying that Partey is injured at the moment. Apparently, he's going to be out for another 3 or 4 weeks, maybe, which is an absolute disaster. But Gabriel is a good signing, wasn't he? He's done really well this season. Possibly our player of the season so far. Mostly played well yesterday. Tierney, a very good player. I mean, he has defensive lapses, but Saka's come through brilliantly, and of course Aubameyang, world class, but having a bad time. But what I'm saying is, I don't think our squad is that bad, and I actually think that's partly why I asked the Pochettino question, because I'm now thinking the lack of experience of Arteta is telling, isn't it? For me, it's like an experienced manager, I don't think necessarily would have changed things the way that he's done. I think psychologically, when you change things around, and you have to play players like Xhaka and Ceballos as a midfield pivot in a system that doesn't suit them at all, it's already sending out bad messages to other players within that system. And I think that's why I do think he has to bear the brunt of the criticism, Josh. If you see what I mean, do you know what I mean? It's his inexperience, because it's quite no other big team would give a manager who has not managed one senior proper game. It's very rare to give that, isn't it? Almost unheard of. I think the point was made last week, probably by Alan. And is that more important than we thought it was initially?
Look, we'll find out if it is or isn't. I still think we are not at the point yet where we have to call for his head. I think Trevor alluded to it. The next month is huge. We have 9 games in December, and either we have not put any results together, we have crashed out of the Carabao Cup, been unable to put any real victories together. I think we've got Tottenham away, Burnley and Southampton at home, we go to Everton, then got Chelsea and away at Brighton. We're going to have to get some results somewhere, or the pressure is massively on and people are going to point to a lack of experience. You talk about, are the players good enough? Is it Arteta? Trevor mentioned Robert Pires, Freddie Ljungberg. Unfortunately, our bar has been slightly lowered every year for the last 15 years of what makes a top quality Arsenal player. And unfortunately now, we're at Willian and Saka, who I like and are great and solid Premier League players, but probably mid-table Premier League players. And our bar has been just gradually lowered. And it's got to go back up before I think Arsenal get too much better. That said, we shouldn't be lying 14th in the Premier League. We should be top 8.
14th is where we deserve to be on the performances that we've shown so far.
On the performances, yeah, of course.
But our players are better, Boyd. Our players are better than I think what we've seen. But look, okay, you just got to bear in mind, just rewind 4 months. Torreira was around, Guendouzi was around, Ozil was around, some of them were all there. And now what have we got? We've got a completely new midfield. And Thomas Partey, who I think only missed like 3 games the whole season last year for, Atletico, is suddenly going to miss more than that, having been at Arsenal for 5 minutes. There's a bit of
mismatch.
It's just what happens. It's just mind-boggling what goes on at our club. I don't know. I think it's too early. Like, I still can't get past... What did I see against City and Chelsea in the FA Cup last year and against Man United? I can't completely remove that outplayed by Villa, outplayed by Wolves.
That's why it's so weird, though, isn't it? That's why it's so weird. But this is why the more I think about it, and I'm not calling for Arteta to go now, by the way, I'm just making that clear, but the more I think about him, the more I'm thinking, like, for example, right, he established a discipline, didn't he? He was very disciplinarian about Guendouzi and, of course, Ozil. And yet, he's allowed Willian to do what the fuck he wants. Like, play badly since that first game. If this had been Ozil performing like this, like Willian, in a similar position in some ways, you would have heard the end of it. And everyone would have been, people like me, I would have been like, oh, typical Ozil. Well, he's diabolical, and yet he's been picked every game pretty much. He's not. Why isn't he being under? I think if you establish a disciplinarian, if you get rid of players ruthlessly, and drop them ruthlessly for disciplinary reasons, for not trying enough and for not giving enough, you then allow a player like him, who you want to sign for some fucking then I think you lose the respect of the rest of the team. That is a real problem for me. If you're going to be like, if you're going to do what you did with Ozil and Guendouzi, you've got to be consistent. And I don't
I know Josh wants to come in, but just very briefly on that, on Willian. Like, he was allowed to go to, was it the UAE somewhere?
Yeah.
For what was known, what he said was important business. So, well, I'm sorry, for fuck's sake, the important business is winning games for Arsenal. That's what we pay you to
do. That's what I'm talking about, Trevor, yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And at the same time, can I just say, like, is it only me? Why do we not like put in, say, a £50 million bid for Jack Grealish in the summer? Because if we had have done, I think we would have signed him. That's the kind of player we need.
I agree with you. Diogo Jota, right? You know, and that was signing by Liverpool for less money, I believe, about the same amount of money probably as we paid for Saliba, for fuck's sake, as Josh put it out. I mean, it's our recruitment is consistently terrible and inconsistent. I still think, Josh, one more thing, that a really experienced manager, and I really hoped Arteta would be, you know, we could give him time, and I still hope we can. And of course, the club has invested a huge amount in him, literally, and in terms of giving him the title of manager, all of that. That's a big backing they've given for him. So I think they'll be really reluctant, even if Trevor's scenario of losing to Burnley and Spurs comes true. But the reason why I think they really should get rid of him after that, if that happens, if that scenario comes around, it's because I think it will show we haven't got enough time for that. I don't think the fans will stand for mid-table mediocrity, two seasons in a row, no chance of qualifying for Europe apart from the Europa League. I don't think fans will stand for that in this day and age of Arsenal. And I also think a more experienced manager like a Pochettino, I keep banging on about it, but I think it'd be hilarious, by the way, because Spurs fans would be so gutted because they love him so much still, even though Spurs are top of the league. I think he could do more with Saka or Bamiyang, you know, Ceballos, Gabriel, these players, Tierney. I think he could snap them into some kind of shape the way that fucking Arteta did to begin with. Josh.
Look, what I'd say, you're asking why did Willian like play, for example, yesterday? Well, look at the bench. If he has decided Aubameyang is my striker, well, then the alternatives are Reece Nelson. That was the alternative yesterday, who eventually came on for him. And I'm not... Reece Nelson, you know... Okay, maybe a squad player. I'm not sure has done it regularly enough to warrant too many Premier League minutes. Certainly, the quality of a set piece is diminished hugely once Willian went off. And look, still, Willian's on the pitch because he did what he did for the goal. He's still capable of putting in a good ball. And I just think you have to look at what else was there. If Pepe had been fit, maybe, you know, not suspended, then maybe he'd have got an opportunity. But there ain't loads of options here. He could have gone Aubameyang and gone with Lacazette or even, you know, Eddie Nketiah. But if he's going with Aubameyang, which he's obviously made a point of doing, boy, there ain't loads of options. I don't know where you want Willian to go.
Well, I want Willian to not...
Somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere else. Anywhere else but here. I'd much rather see... I know Reece Nelson is... You know, Reece Nelson is good in the Europa. I think, you know, I think he's lucky. He's surrounded by senior players who are not pulling their way and not playing well enough. That's the weird... That must be the weird thing for him. I'd still rather see him given a go. I'd rather see Nketiah, as you say. I know, not great options, but better for me than Willian. And I know he made the goal with that cross. Great. But the rest of the time, he's absolute dross. And not working hard enough on any level. So I don't want to see him anywhere near. Xhaka, again, another one. The Xhaka conundrum, for me, it's like he's just got worse and worse and worse, isn't it? I think it was working. So, again, he'd got them working at the end of last season, him and Ceballos, in that three-the-back system. But in this system, I mean, the two of them were just... I mean, I feel like he's dragging Ceballos down to his level, Xhaka. But the sideways passing, the backwards passing... There were moments yesterday in the game against Wolves, Trevor, where there was an attack kind of brewing slowly in our incredibly slow pace that we had. And Xhaka would dive in and kick the ball back to the defender.
It was... Like, it was it, It was incredibly easy, wasn't it, yesterday, if you were a Wolves defender? Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
they never had an easier time.
it was embarrassingly kind of like a there's a little bit in the second half where we kind of semi-threatened, we had a lot more possession. But what you were saying, Josh, about Willian and like who would you have put on instead? To me, that just tells you that the depth in the squad isn't deep enough. It's not. And virtually every game that Willian plays, he's subbed virtually every game after an hour or something like that. I don't know if I don't know if he's unfit. I don't think he trains, but I don't know, but I suspect he doesn't train particularly hard. He's on easy street, isn't he? Chelsea wouldn't give him a 3-year deal. He gets a 3-year deal at Arsenal on big money. Yeah, I'll turn up, I'll play for an hour, whatever. I don't think he doesn't look like he cares. That's the criticism we all have of Mesut Ozil, one of the criticisms. Almost you think, has Ozil been so pilloried, been so like hung out to dry, that if you suddenly, I don't know how you go about putting him into the 25-man squad, but if you could and he played, do you think there'd be some kind of thing where he'd want to make a point, at least try, at least, you know, show some, because we know he's got talent. No one's ever said he hasn't got talent, but unfortunately, he hasn't had the application. Maybe now he might have. It must be worth a chance, worth a go.
Well, if there is a new manager, then you can envisage a situation where Ozil comes back into the fold. It would be the biggest climb down of all time, almost, wouldn't it? From, you know, Arteta, if he brought him back into the.
Yeah, he can't do it.
It
would be like reliving the Unai Emery era as well. Yeah, it would be like we're copying the exact scenario, because that's what Emery did, didn't he? He had to, in the end, kind of get Ozil back, and it was constant kind of firefighting and kind of it was just painful. So I don't think it's ever going to happen with Arteta in charge. The other thing that annoyed me, so I know it feels like I haven't completely gone to the dark side against Arteta, but again, what annoyed me yesterday, I have to say it, is the substitution. How long did it take him to bring on Lacazette, another striker? It was about 80 something minutes. I mean, we're not even drawing that game, we're losing a game. That I was mystified. I was like, what the fuck is he playing?
Me too.
And we haven't even. The only reason I haven't banged on about the Luiz situation of not substituting him as soon as that horrendous clash happened, and of course, all our thoughts are with Jimenez. And again, the only reason I'm not going on about how awful that was is because it's been covered. Everyone's been saying it. It's absolutely true. Everything that was said on Match of the Day 2 about, you know, fuck knows what we were playing at with Luiz. The nadir of the game was when he took that free kick. I mean, what the fuck? You know, blood seeping out of his bandage.
But
shown himself to not be concentrating on defence, allowing him to take that free kick when Aubameyang should be taking our free kicks. I'm sorry. He's perfectly capable of scoring brilliant goals in that kind of situation. And so not substituting him was moronic. Not bringing on Lacazette earlier was mystifying. These decisions are the managers and the managers only. And you have to worry about it, Trevor.
But at least... And I agree, we should have substituted him for a lot of reasons. However, the fact that he wanted to stay on, I give him some credit for that.
But all players want to stay on, don't they?
I don't think Willian does particularly. He rushes off, yeah. No, seriously, I do think, you know, we can make a lot of criticisms of David Luiz in a lot of ways, but to me, he's... He tries, I do think that he has some kind of pride in the shirt. I do think that. I don't think that with Willian. I think there's a difference there.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not having a go at Luiz at all. I think it's great that he wanted to stay on. I think it's the senior management and the team for allowing
him.
It's just idiotic in the day. You know, everyone talks about the protocols, but what are the protocols? Are basically, if the player says he's all right, and we allow him to play on. It's absolutely a ludicrous situation. Josh, okay, then let's try and be positive, shall we? Do you think, we've been saying, you know, I wouldn't be entirely stunned if we somehow got a result at Spurs, right? You think, you know, historically often when Arsenal are in this kind of situation, when we're in a spiral downwards, we often pull, particularly, and of course, our best performances under Arteta really have been against the big teams often anyway. You know, even sometimes we haven't managed to win those games necessarily, but at least we put in quite a big performance. We're capable of putting in a focused press, you know, and playing on the break and putting some moves together, I think, you know, giving Aubameyang a chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came good against Spurs, but equally I'm terrified they're going to destroy us. But do you think, at the moment, are you wavering towards he is going to sort it out quite soon, or that we're going to get mired in a downward spiral? That's a mixture of metaphors.
I think he can certainly improve upon what's been going on of late, but I don't think it begins at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium next Sunday. You talk about, you know, going to Spurs, but we go to Spurs who are in, you know, top of the league and, you know, in good form and, you know, seem to have been in a good period, whereas we are in a mess in the league. And, you know, even when we went to them in the league last year, we were, you know, feeling a bit more positive. It was around the time where, you know, we had the cup final coming up. We found a way to lose. I'd be grabbing a point right now, absolutely grabbing a point, and then hoping the Burnley and Hampton games
A point would be is amazing. No, a point is I'm completely.
But I see your point that, you know, we can go. I don't know. What do we do? Aubameyang? Does he just decide and concedes defeat and goes on the wing? Does he go back to three centre backs and just go? It's been a dreadful month. I just think it's going to have to be a kind of change. And let's hope we put in something like, you know, we put in maybe the pressure's off. You could argue a little bit from these terrible home defeats, but there's no fans there anyway. And the players know that the pressure's going to be mounting on the whole club and the manager. So, yeah, I think five at the back, you know, three centre backs, and let's hope for a solid performance and a goal on the break.
Trevor, what would you go tactically, your team selection against Spurs? Would you do that, or would you stick with what he did in the 4-3-3?
I think the only chance of getting a result against Spurs is to go at them. I honestly, because I think that their Achilles heel is defensively. Up front, they're ridiculous. Son and Kane, and a very decent midfield. I mean, he's got Bale's not even a regular starter. I mean, we'd kill for someone like Gareth Bale in midfield. So to answer your question, I would play. I'd probably go three at the back. I would play Tony Lacazette with Aubameyang and just try and attack him. Just try and go at them. And if we end up losing, we end up losing. But at least you lose with a bit of respect rather than, because if we try and just sit, I don't see it. Spurs are a better team than Manchester United. They're much better up front, and they've got more creative midfielders. So the only way we can get a result, in my view, is to actually have a go at them.
We don't seem capable of doing that against anyone at the moment, do we? Like having a go. We're the only team. I can't think of another team as reluctant as we are to run at players with the ball. It's like it's extraordinary how little we do that.
We tried to do it against Liverpool early in the season, didn't we? And we lost the game, but we lost it with a bit of respect. You didn't come away from the game thinking we were terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe it's time to actually have our predictions, Josh. Considering it's now 7 minutes to 8 o'clock. We've been banging on.
While we've been on air, we should just mention Arsenal being drawn at home to Newcastle in the FA Cup. Around.
That's a good game.
We'll take that.
As FA Cup holders, we probably should be showing some interest in the competition.
Well, and we're not going to say that, Josh, because if we've been drawn at home to Chorley, I would have been a bit concerned we might get turned over.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Marine, the eighth tier side, have been drawn at home to Spurs. So Spurs go to Marine.
That's brilliant.
So Jose's off to Marine. Look, just looking ahead to the games this week, I don't know. You presume a very youthful team will take on Rapid Vienna. We should mention, obviously, it was great to see Balogun get his first goal for the club.
A brilliant moment. Yeah.
You know, two touches and a goal. It was amazing. So I'm assuming that it will be, some more game time for him now that we've qualified. Pepe possibly, because Pepe maybe wants a bit of continuity while he's suspended from the Premier League games.
Yeah.
So I think we can beat Rapid Vienna. And then I do think we'll lose 2-1 to Spurs next weekend.
Yeah. Trevor?
4-1 Spurs.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
I don't enjoy saying it, but I think we're going to get...
It's possible, yeah. Harry Kane and Son attacking our defence. Can you? I mean, just thinking about it now.
It's frightening. And Bale comes off the bench when we're 2-0 down after an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And Arteta brings on Reece Nelson with 10 minutes to go. Oh, God, yeah, you're right.
Elneny comes on with 20 minutes left to try and stop a total.
I mean, we missed Elneny yesterday, by the way. I mean, that's the other thing.
Maybe.
Big time. Okay, and in the Europa League?
At least we have the luxury of knowing it doesn't matter. So I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. I think Europa League will win 2-1. And against Spurs, oh, God. Oh, Christ. It's so depressing, isn't it? I think I'm going to say draw. I'm going to say 1-1. Yeah, clinging. I'm going to cling to that desperately.
That is the definition of an optimist.
I mean, I'm almost just saying it for the sake of it at this stage. The best moment of the whole game, by the way, what was the best moment of the whole game? I think we can all agree, surely, was when Rob Holding did the brick shithouse yelling at that player that he took down.
Traore.
Yeah. Traore, who is, by the way, built like a brick shithouse. Traore against us, like his end product, much better than he is against every other team he plays against, by the way. But Rob Holding, I thought that was a brilliant moment from him. The only kind of moment of light relief in a truly dire, awful match. Well, Trevor, it's been a joy to have you back. Thank you very much.
Sorry it's been
such a depressing thing to discuss.
Yeah.
And Josh, looking good in your wood paneled office, doing your best Mo Salah impression.
Do you have any Egyptian heritage at all?
Oh, kind of.
No Egyptian heritage whatsoever.
Semitic, though. We're all Semitic. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much. We'll be back. Please, God, let's hope we've got something positive to talk about next week. Pray to the Lord above. Thank you very much. Bye.
Wasn't that a great podcast? Now, if you've got 90 seconds spare in your day, come and listen to ours. It's called What Has He Said Now? And is available wherever you got this podcast.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu.
This is a Playback Media production. To listen to all our football podcasts, visit playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.